Let us pray. God of what was, what is, and what yet might be, we turn to you as the road forward becomes uncertain, as the future becomes unclear. Speak your wisdom, your word, your will into our lives, that we might build the days to come, hand in hand with you. We ask this and all things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm pretty on the ball most weeks. When it comes to getting the message ready, I'm pretty on the ball. Most weeks I have it typed up and ready to go by end of day on Thursday. This is usually great because it means I get more free time with my kids and with Natalie. It means I get to spend my day off. It means that come Sunday morning, I have the message as much in my heart as I do on my tablet. Most weeks, it's a good thing to be so keen. Most weeks. This past week, we were rocked with the tragedies around the world. With many people still reeling today, families were broken, forever broken. For a small fraction of those lives lost, the world watched in horror. The true horror is that I say a small fraction, because most of the lives lost this past week went largely unnoticed by the world. We pray with and for our brothers and sisters in Paris. What they suffered, no one should suffer. Not only were lives lost, but also a sense of security. A not here, never here mentality. 129 voices were silenced in the Paris attack, which means that countless lives are going to be changed, and not for the better. But along with this tragedy, this atrocity, many more lives were lost this past week, and for reasons that are no better than those who work to bring fear. Each day last week, about 1,000 people died from accidental and intentional gun violence around the world. So by Saturday, by yesterday, about 6,000 people. Each day last week, about 21,000 died from hunger. So again, by yesterday, about 126 of God's beloved children breathed no more. On Thursday, just a few thousand kilometers from the then still safe doorsteps of Paris, bombs were exploded in the capital of Lebanon, Beirut, killing 41. Those 129 people who died in France senselessly because of fear matter. Don't doubt that those lives matter. Those 41 who died in Lebanon senselessly because of hate matter. Do not doubt. So too do the 6,000 lives that we lose every week due to gun violence that is out of control. And that's like handguns. That's not combat deaths. And so too do the 126,000 lives that we lose every week because 10% of the world consumes 90% of the food. So too do the other thousands upon thousands of lives that we lose every week but don't know about because it didn't make the news. These hard truths aren't meant to diminish the loss of life due to terror attacks. But whether it's human nature, the nature of reported news, or both, our attention is drawn to the sensational, the dramatic, while we tend to ignore the commonplace. Commonplace. That is what 126,000 hunger deaths have become in our world. Commonplace. Even the Syrian refugee crisis wasn't even really a crisis to many until children started washing up on beaches on Facebook. Have we become so desensitized to all but the most destructive parts of human life? What's worse, after these terrorist attacks in France and Beirut, people are saying refugees are the source of the attacks, and true, there probably were some. What if some of the refugees that we take in are just as bad? What if terror comes to our shores? In Canada, there are starving and homeless that go unnoticed every day. In Canada, there is rampant spousal abuse that goes on every day. People who lose their lives to depression every day. But forget all that, because ISIS is coming. As unlikely as it is, the gospel reading chosen for today, almost a week ago, suits. In it, the disciples of Christ are marveling at the stonework of their temple, but Jesus says that before long, not a stone will be left on stone. In fear, the disciples gather around Jesus and beg him to tell them of the signs that will point to the end of the world. Jesus offers them many warnings, that false prophets would come in his name and lead people astray, guide them deeper into darkness. He said that there would be earthquakes, that there would be famine, that the world would be in great upheaval. He also said there would be wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Christ was describing a world in chaos and turmoil, a world lost, seeking the path, a world in darkness, seeking light. But as terrible as all the things that Jesus is saying are, as on the edge as this world seems, this is not the end, he says. So what is the end? Well, as it turns out, Christ is not talking about the end of all things here. Not the end of the world, not the end of humanity. No, Christ is speaking here of a beginning of something. He talks about all of these signs being the birth pangs, the pain of the world and the children of God as something new is born, a new age, a new way of being with God and with one another. Now, the problem with prophecy is that it's so vague. The words that Christ offered in the gospel reading here today seem to be pointing right at us. They seem to be pointing at our time, our tragedy. But look at the history of the world over the last 2 millennia. We have been a people of war since Christ spoke those words. We have been fighting brother against brother since the garden. In every age, there have been earthquakes. In every age, there have been famines. In every age, we have been brought to our knees by war. And false prophets, well, this world has had a few. And because of them, millions of lives have been snuffed out. So how do we take the words of the gospel, the words of Christ, to heart when any people of any age can look at themselves and say, Christ is talking about us. The end of the age is nigh. The beginning of the next is just around the corner. The thing about birthing something is that we have to push. We have to push ourselves towards that world where no one will be forgotten. We have to push ourselves into a world where no one is hungry, where no one dies because they're hungry. We have to push ourselves into a world where war is a story that we tell, because that's how it used to be and not how it is. We have to push ourselves into a world where the face of our neighbor doesn't strike fear into our hearts just because it's different. But we gotta push. 2,000 years of labor? I think that's enough. I spent much of last night at a second cup rewriting this message. I find that coffee shops provide some of the best inspiration, and not just because of the coffee. As I sat with the stats of the dead and the dying around the world, the coffee shop was a bustle of activity. At the table next to me was a group of people, maybe 20, including kids. I don't know if they were all family or just friends with their kids. But what I could tell from their dress and their language was that they were different from me. Many of the women wore hijabs, but not all of them did. You know what they were doing besides drinking coffee in a coffee shop? They were playing Monopoly. At the table next to me, a family was playing Monopoly. I always want to be the car when we play Monopoly. But at a second cup on Prospect Street, there was a group of what some would call very different people doing something that is not so different. It's the same thing I do with my children. It's the same thing that my parents did with me. They spent quality time sharing their love with one another. It made me think as I was writing. It reminded me that with all the terrible people and all the terrible things that there are in the world, there are as many, more people holding their children, telling them that they love them. There are some pretty bad people out there. Some of them are Muslim. Some of them are Christian. And in their actions of terror, not one of them is living into the faith that they profess to hold up, the God that they say they worship. Let us pray with and for our brothers and sisters in Paris and Beirut. Let us pray with and for those who struggle to find the daily bread that we prayed for moments ago. Let us pray with and for people who live lives we cannot imagine and do not see because it's not newsworthy. And in the midst of all this praying, let us be moved by the Spirit to act out of love. And by that love, create a world unlike anything we've ever seen, but a world of which Christ dreamed and died for. Hope will get us there. Hope that the sun will yet rise on this, our darkest of nights. Amen.